Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals took game one of their series against the Rangers last night. We're going to talk more about that. It was very simple. Salvador Perez and Bobby Wood Jr. stepped up, led this offense. Seth Lugo also was awesome. I believe he had a season high in strikeouts, nine strikeouts, maybe even a career high in strikeouts, I think, actually. It was awesome to see, kind of just a nice, relaxed win, much needed, snaps the six-game losing streak, gets them back to three under 500, sets them up to potentially win a series, even with the win tonight. Obviously, they got two more against the Rangers. Chris Bubich on the bump, going up against Patrick Corbin, who was awful for the Nationals a year ago. But it's actually been pretty decent for the Rangers. 7:05 first pitch. Vern's on deck show at 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. We will talk to Josh Vernier here in about 30 minutes about last night, about some of the comments from J.J. Piccolo, and where this franchise is headed. But nice to see last night from the Royals.
So it is. When you're sitting there with the Royals, you get that first game under your belt against the Rangers. Then you have Chris Bubich. It's unbelievable this year. That 1.92 ERA. Gold, you and I both know that should be different, right? He did strike out Chisholm there instead of giving him the fourth strike. And then it becomes different. That game becomes much different. Having Chris Bubich on the mound now, then Michael Wacha in the finale against the Rangers is perfect. Royals did everything they need to do. Just get off the bat. Get those runs in. Don't sit there and think about things. You got to move runners around. You got to get on the board. But boom, Bobby Witt Jr. double scores right then. I mean, it was perfect for the Kansas City Royals. And what they did, going against a pitcher that doesn't lighter, didn't give home runs, only six all year. Royals had three on him last night and should have been a fourth with a guy that Vinny Pasquantino that would have been out in 22 ballparks, 413 feet. Speaking of Florida sports, the Florida Panthers, the Chiefs on ice, win the Stanley Cup last night. Back-to-back years, of course, they lost the year before that, so they did reverse of the Kansas City Chiefs. But regardless, our four major sports and two of those teams have gone to three straight championships. Congratulations to the Panthers.
I didn't know when you said Chiefs on Ice. I didn't know, like, they already did a Hallmark movie. I didn't know if there was like some plan where they're going to have Casey Wolf on ice and they were going to have somebody looking like Patrick Mahomes at T-Mobile Center on ice. I wasn't sure if it was a money-making endeavor or something.
But 31 straight years now, a team that plays, that calls home in the United States, has won the Stanley Cup.
That's insane. It is kind of crazy.
Three decades.
But there's also, hardly 2016, like what are like 26 American teams versus, you know. Yeah.
But so, still, they haven't. 31 years. Yeah. I had their chance twice now, back-to-back with the Oilers.
Elsewhere on what's trending, the Tampa Bay Rays are in advanced talks to sell their club to a group led by a Jacksonville home builder. Parties have signed a letter of intent. The price, roughly $1.7 billion. That, according to Sportico. So an LOI has been signed. We'll see if it actually comes together, but that would be significant news. MLB owners and Rob Manfred has pressured the owners of the Rays to do this very thing. What does that mean if they actually complete the deal? Is the team staying in Tampa? Is it going to Jacksonville? Is it going to Portland, Nashville, Montreal? Like, all everything would be on the table at that point in time. I don't think they would be staying in Tampa.
Becomes a free agent team at that point where they can move. Jacksonville? Maybe an option, but I don't see
a baseball team in Jacksonville.
I see Nashville and Salt Lake City, and these teams really ponying up, or Charlotte trying to get professional baseball there. But it was a weird deal with the hurricane. It wiped out the roof of the Trop where they play. So playing in that AAA ballpark now, or the single-A ballpark for the Yankees. Steinbrenner Field. Yeah, the Steinbrenner Field. Actually, their A-ball team plays there, and I think they're playing next door in some rented stands and everything. They have on the outside. But the Rays were going to fix that up. They have renderings for a new ballpark. The one wanted that, even though they looked great. And they were going to fix that roof. That's going to cost some money. There was talk about that member splitting the season, half in Tampa and half in Montreal, which I think would have been a disaster.
Right.
But could the Rays be on the move? Probably so. 100%. Conference commissioners, by the way, have decided to start over on determining the 2026 college football playoff format. This year, once again, we do have the 12 teams. The Big Ten and SEC initially wanted four automatic qualifiers each, with two each to ACC and Big 12. However, ACC and Big 12 pushed back. SEC coaches later publicly did not support the four automatic qualifier model, instead preferring a 5, then an AQ plus 11 at-large format for a 16-team playoff, as did the ACC and Big 12. We all knew it was going to get to 16 teams. Just a thought that was put out there about having a 14-team and then get the 16-team. Just go straight to it, man. Just go straight to it.
They're even talking now that if they can't figure out anything, they might just push it back to 27 and go straight seed 12 team next year as well.
Yeah, that would suck if that is actually what happens. But yeah, there's a lot of 6 months to figure it out. Agreed between the Big Ten and the SEC.
At least it is where it is now, because Ohio State wouldn't have even made the old playoff format.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold with you. Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley is in for Cody. It is the lunch hour. Thanks to our friends over at Jefferson's, our Wednesday lunch partner here on Cody and Gold. They got a brand new happy hour you want to check out. It's also going to save you some money. 7 days a week, enjoy half off appetizers, half off your bar tab at Jefferson's Lenexa or up north, Jefferson's North KC. That's half off your bar tab at both locations during their happy hour. Not to mention Mondays, that's all day happy hour. And they have those same great deals during their reverse happy hour 7 days a week. So make sure to go to Jefferson's Lenexa or Jefferson's North KC. Jefferson's Wings, Burgers, Oysters. We will talk to Josh Vernier about 20 minutes.
I've actually done that, by the way, that happy hour at Jefferson's.
Have
very
you?
Good. Oh, yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah, man. We've talked about Jefferson's Wings. We love those wings. I love the corn nuggets as well. We've had that up in studio a few times as well. And we appreciate their support of the show. And obviously, if you're looking for lunch today, or if you're just looking for something to grab to eat tonight, great opportunity to take advantage of their brand new happy hour, whether you're up north or in Lenexa. We'll talk to Vern here in about 15, 20 minutes or so about the Royals. But we mentioned in What's Trending, look, the losing streak is snapped. That's always a good thing, obviously. But last night, it was what you've needed all year. And if they were to get this offense ever going, and if you think they're going to get this thing turned around, last night was the prime example of it. How many times last year did we see a game which Salvador Perez and Bobby Wood Jr. were leading the offense and they got great pitching from Seth Lugo? I mean, last night, that was what happened all last year. We haven't seen it very often. Lugo was awesome, but most importantly, Bobby Wood Jr., who had been a little cold, he was awesome last night, had the double to get it started immediately. That set the tone. Salvador Perez with a multi-home run game. He now passed George Brett for most multi-home run games in Royals history. He passed the Hall of Famer. That's awesome for Salvador Perez. That seems so simple, doesn't it? That combination, you get those two going and everything else handles itself. It really does. And if you get those two guys going, it takes pressure off of Caglione and others. Cag's obviously is struggling right now, but you get him going because he doesn't feel the pressure to have to be the savior. If you get the guys in front of him in the order going, obviously he's going to see some better pitches as well. So it all has a trickle-down effect. This team was never going to be about Kyle Isbell leading the offense. It was never going to be about Hunter Renfrow when he was with the team leading the offense. It was always going to be Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, and he's been great over the last month and a half. But Vinny, Salvi, Bobby, and India. Those were always going to be the answers, and then you hope Cags would supplement that on top of it, and hopefully that happens. It's one game. I'm not acting like everything's solved, but last night is the formula. We've all known it. It was nice to see it play out at least for one night, and hopefully it can get some confidence going for the rest of the road trip.
100% get Bobby on base and get him in. Have that front part of your lineup, you know, as solid as it was last night. That's all you've really wanted from the Royals. And to get this win, huge, because this is a tough stretch going through the All-Star break. We know that when you get to Major League Baseball at this point, there's some very good teams on the schedule for the Royals. But to get this out of the way, then have Chris Bubich on the mound, that's fifth in all of baseball in ERA tonight, and then followed by Michael Wacha. Just a perfect situation for the Royals. I think I tweeted out last night on X, it was great to see your big dogs do something for the Royals. It was met, you know, with the typical sarcastic response. Well, they're not really big dogs. In Kansas City, they are. You have a
they're the big dogs of this offense.
You
this
have
is
a future
the
Hall of Famer and the guy that finished second in the MVP last year. Those are call them big dogs or not. In Kansas City, those are big dogs. They're the ones they have to rely on.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would be disputing that at all. I mean, it's very clear that the guys that
people
have to
dispute everything,
guys that have to carry this offense,
they
are the names we've all known, and two of them did last night. Bobby Wood Jr. and Salvador Perez. Can they? How many games this year have you actually seen where you've got two or three players all hitting in one game? We haven't seen it very often. Like it truly sounds so freaking simple. Get me Bobby hitting and Salvi, or Bobby and Vinny, or Vinny and Salvi, and Your run production is going to go up drastically, and it was nice also just to see the long ball, because we know even the power numbers and home runs or whatever, that's last year wasn't even their best thing. They just hit in runner with runners in scoring position. But last night, especially because the home runs just haven't been there, that was nice to see in that ballpark.
Especially and a pitcher that doesn't give them up.
And Vinny probably would have had one in about 95% of ballparks.
22 parks, they said.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah.
So in Lugo, I don't know if you noticed or not, but Lugo called kind of a timeout there. And he wanted Brian Sweeney, the pitching coach, coming out. But he wanted all the infielders
right,
to come in.
I saw
in.
That.
India took India a lot of what, yeah, his, problem, I mean, what his pace was, but he wasn't there good. But I thought that was interesting. He's sitting there talking to the players. Now, I thought that was good for Lugo. It was fun.
Well, Seth was awesome last night. Yeah, he was great. And, you know, yesterday we were talking, obviously, with J.J. Piccolo about the rumor and that one report that they flat out shot down and said was a flat out lie and everything. But if they were to get in a position where they don't turn this thing around 3 weeks from now, Seth Lugo pitching like that's why you would be willing, in my opinion, to make a move. But the team's not in that position where they need to be thinking sell yet. I know a lot of people want them to, but there's no reason to make that decision right now. It's one night. Let's see what happens tonight. Can they carry it over? Because as great as last night was, if they lose tonight 5-0 or 5-1, nobody's going to care what happened last night anymore. They're going to say, okay, see, it wasn't the start of anything. Was last night the start of something? We're going to find out. Can they carry that over? We'll talk more about it with Josh Vernier here in 18 minutes or so.
And I know there's been some games that you look at with the pitching staff and think, yeah, are they taking a step back or not? I know that Reagan's is hurt right now and everything, but this pitching staff is still one of the best in baseball. That's the thing about it. Have they been as great as they were early on? No, but guess what? They're still fifth in ERA in all of baseball, American League or National League. And what, only two teams in the American League have a better ERA than the Royals. I mean, so saying they slipped or taken a step back, really? Have they really taken a step back? Because I don't think they have. And Lugo just added to that last night.
Chris Bubich gets the nod tonight for the Royals. You obviously know he's going to give you a chance to win. Hopefully the offense is backing him up tonight as well. Real quick, I want to mention there a little bit of NFL news, Bink, just in the last couple of minutes. We had mentioned a week or so ago that the Packers had cut Jaire Alexander, a corner that at one point in time was considered one of the better corners in the league, just has had some injury history.
Don't tell me Ravens, because Lamar Jackson wanted him.
That's where he signed, yeah.
Oh, you got to be kidding
Adam
me.
Adam Schefter reporting just a minute.
You got to be kidding me, because he wanted him.
Yeah, this impacts the Chiefs. Obviously, the Ravens, one of their contenders in the AFC. According to Adam Schefter, former Packers corner.
It's at Louisville
Jaire
connection.
Alexander signed a one-year, $6 million deal with the Ravens. He turned down more money elsewhere to be in Baltimore. He obviously wants to be on a contender there.
Well, so. He went to Louisville. You know, same thing with Lamar. And I remember Lamar's press conference yesterday. They mentioned Jaire right then because it just happened. Then Lamar's like, bring him in, man. Bring him in. Got his way. Got his Cardinal.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good signing for the Ravens. I mean, there's some upside there. You bring him in to help your secondary. That is such a Ravens signing. If Jair Alexander would have been one of the first places you would have guessed. He's going to a contender in the AFC. We know the way that franchise over the last 15 years has been built. Yes, you got Lamar now, but defense usually lead with that. That defense for them was not acceptable by their standards in Baltimore. Remember, that was the huge issue. Their defense stunk last year compared to what Baltimore has been. And Alexander is not the same player he was a couple of years ago, but on that deal... And again, they got him for cheaper than what some other teams were offering. Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to shift the entire AFC race. No, but that's a significant signing. Well, I actually think that'll help them.
Yeah, and he's going to fit right in because, again, Lamar and he played together at Louisville. They're both in the 2018 draft. Both of them were first-round picks. Jair actually went a lot higher than Lamar did. So you see what they think about their quarterback there, going out and getting exactly who he wanted. Hey, I look at the Ravens and know their defense isn't the way it used to be, and they've been on this big, you know, vengeance tour and everything else, but I don't know, man. When I still look at these teams in the AFC, this was a very good move for them. Do I consider them better than Buffalo and Cincinnati and all these teams? Yeah, I still do. I still think that's the team to watch out for. That's the team for the Chiefs in the AFC is the Ravens.
I was looking at odds the other day, and so the Ravens are favorites in that division, as they should be. But it was surprising to see that the Ravens, while they're a better football team than a team I'm about to mention, I was surprised given how tough the AFC North is. The Ravens are bigger favorites to win the North than the Texans are to win the AFC South. Someone's got to explain that one to me. I understand the Ravens are a better football team. They have Lamar Jackson. They have Derrick Henry. And I know people are questioning Stroud because of how they finished the season and they revamped their offensive line. This is not a Ravens versus Texans comparison. I'm just saying, I look at the AFC South. I would still take the Texans to win the South at those odds better than the Ravens, who are bigger favorites when they have to deal with a team like Cincinnati in their division. Pittsburgh, make all the jokes we want, but they can beat you, right? Yeah. Especially with maybe better quarterback play. We'll see this year than what they've gotten in the past. Cleveland, heck, even still can beat you for a game or two and surprise you. Just the nature of the AFC North. So I was just surprised when I looked at the standings.
It's what they needed, though, Baltimore, because they did finish second to last in yards per game against passing last year. Only the Jags were worse than them, so they had to get better at that. I like the move.
Thinking of other teams in the AFC, whether or not your front office and your players are on the same page, the Buffalo Bills, one of the top contenders in the AFC, we all know that. Josh Allen, we saw it play out in the AFC title game, uses the tush push. So he's an advocate for it. Now, you could argue if they didn't use the tush push against the Chiefs, they might have actually had more success, but that's a whole different conversation. Sean McDermott has, over the last 12 months, come out and basically said he doesn't like the tush push. He thinks it should be banned. They were a team that was on that. We know the tush push has not been banned, at least for another year. I think next year will get banned, next offseason, that is. But it's interesting to see you have a player in Josh Allen yesterday speaking about how much he wants to keep it, but then the front office and your coaching staff doesn't. You would think your star quarterback, if he thinks it's something, you would think you'd be on the same page.
That's a weapon. I'm surprised McDermott just won't like keep it, to be honest with you. I'm surprised the Bills were one of the 22 of the 32 teams devoted to ban it. I'm shocked in that, but if McDermott says, no, we don't need to do this anymore, don't need to put my quarterback in harm's way. Allen's like the perfect quarterback for this too, so I'm surprised they kind of had that stance, to be honest with you. It's something that could work very well for Buffalo, but to see Allen then saying go out and stop it, well, the Chiefs did stop it, but to see your quarterback and organization two different ways on this thing is very interesting, because I could never see like Mahomes going against what the Chiefs or Andy Reid wanted. Like, I can't see if they were really, you know, staunch in the one thing or the other and Mahomes wanted the opposite. That just wouldn't happen here. It was a very interesting development in Buffalo. But they should use it. I mean, Josh Allen's like the perfect quarterback for this. Obviously, it didn't work against the Chiefs, but, I mean, obviously, Jalen Hurts is like perfect. I mean, that's the perfect guy for it.
Yeah, nobody's better.
Just right there, too.
Yeah, nobody's better at doing that than the Eagles. And we've talked a ton about the tush-push stuff this offseason. I think next March, they will vote on it again, and eventually it's going to get banned. It's something that Roger Goodell wants banned. They will ban it. But it's just surprising to see a franchise have a player advocating for it, and then the coach and the front office saying, no, we actually don't think it's a good thing for us. When the player bleeds.
Not exactly on the same page.
I would also say, though, longevity for Josh Allen's career, this is always a debate about him, and his one of his biggest assets is his physicality, his ability to run with the football. But when he's 33 years old, is he still going to be able to do that? Is his body going to hold up? He's a bigger guy than Hurts in terms of overall. Like, Hurts' lower body is stronger, but Josh Allen's a much bigger dude than Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson, as we know. So maybe his body will hold up. But that would be my only thing where I would understand the organization. You know, do you want to protect Josh Allen with, you know, to be your quarterback for another decade? Maybe he can't run as much in the future.
I think that's what McDermott in the front office was thinking, especially the front office. You're thinking what they're paying him. They're building a new stadium. Won't be open this year, but will be the next. Actually, it's not going to be finished for the season, is it? Buffalo Bills' new stadium? I don't think
not this year.
I think it's got one more year to go.
Someone says Kelsey said he wanted to stay after Chiefs voted to ban it. Which Kelsey? You're talking about Jason Kelsey? He doesn't play for the Chiefs. And also, there's a difference. One's a quarterback. One's a center. Or even if you think
Jason made the comment, I think, when he was there presenting.
Yeah, but he's not the quarterback, though.
No, he's not. But he made a comment that he would have stayed if he could just run that play all the time. He would have done it. He made that comment there.
Someone's saying that because you said that they're not on the same page. They're trying to say the Chiefs voted to ban it, but Kelsey said he wanted it. I'm saying which Kelsey said they wanted it. I know Jason did. Did Travis Kelsey ever come out and say he wanted to keep it? And my point is, if he did, that's not the same.
On the podcast, and they probably were arguing about it or something.
It's not the same thing because one is a quarterback and one is a tight end.
Big difference.
Yeah.
Because he's actually doing it. They might have discussed it. I'm sure Jason brought it up plenty of times.
Someone says that Buffalo lost to Philly in the Super Bowl, the tush push would be banned. Are you convinced by that?
Well, they're going off at how they get the both teams get the football because they lost to the Chiefs.
Right.
So they're crying about that. But Buffalo did get it changed. Chiefs couldn't get it changed. They could. Bad things happen to them. Now they're in the Hallmark movie. Now they're Josh Allen's married.
What's wrong with that?
I'm just saying. Buffalo, man. Everybody's all about Buffalo Bills.
This goes back to how we started the show where you pointed out. And Drew's not wearing his wedding band today, which caught us all off guard. No Quick Trip trips, no wedding band. Something's changed in the last 48 hours for Drew. I don't know what's going on.
I didn't go to Quick Trip on Monday.
You didn't even bring the Code Red in. I was looking for it, but you didn't walk in with it. You walked in with a water bottle, and I was like, all right, he's going.
And you kept pressing Drew, asking, where's the ring? And Drew, because I think Dusty convinced him to, Drew just kept saying over and over, Cody doesn't wear his ring either. Which we've known that for a while. Yeah, and then finally Drew had enough. And Drew told you, because you just brought up marriage. So why are you anti-marriage so much? And Drew said, Bink, you've lost three of your rings, which was an unbelievable moment. I wish we need to have that as a drop. We need to have that as a drop somewhere, please.
Not three.
He said three.
I'll go and I'll find it.
We have to have that as a drop. That was a mic drop moment. That was just a slap across the face is what that was. Right to you, and you just stood there.
Oh, more's coming from
you. You just took it.
Well, I deserve it.
Wait till Friday when it's just you two together.
I'm not saying they didn't deserve it, but it will come back
tomorrow or Friday. Not tomorrow.
It will come back next week. It'll come back.
Also, Cody's not going to be Drew. That drop's going to get saved. That's going to get played when Cody comes back too. I think Drew might have started beef with Bink and Cody by that one comment alone.
So Cody doesn't even have one.
Someone says, "Who takes their wedding ring off, Drew? Are you going back to Twin Peaks? What's going on?"
No.
That's a great question. Great text.
I mistakenly did not wear it today.
Hmm.
Cody just doesn't wear his. And that's nothing. Like, if that's a thing that he has, that he does.
But he's got kids and everything. He's in a dance contest in Texas. I mean, he can do whatever he wants at this point. But you should be wearing it. You should. I'm sure your wife would agree.
Did you text your wife, like, proactively and say, hey, by the way, forgot my ring?
No, I haven't. And she hasn't texted me either about it. So it's
why is your ring on the table, Drew? You even heard that yet?
No.
What if she forgot hers when she went to work? What would you say?
All right.
I'm just saying, what would you say if she didn't wear hers? You would like it, would you?
No, it wouldn't matter to me, Bink.
You wouldn't like it, would you, Drew?
It wouldn't matter to me.
It would matter to you.
All right. For the 816, happily married, and they never were theirs either.
People say it just gets uncomfortable, Bink.
Well, Kramer was going to tattoo it. And I was like,
that's
no.
How the conversation started. But yeah, people just want to know why you took it off to begin with.
I didn't take it because I...
No, you had to take it off.
Well, theoretically,
it's just there. So it did physically come off your hand. Do you not shower with it? Or?
Shower normally is what I... If I'm wearing the gold one, then yes, I don't shower with it. If I'm wearing the silicone one, it doesn't matter. I do whatever.
You got multiple?
No, a lot of people a lot of people have a silicone one as well. If they're like, especially
the
if they work.
The silicone one came with the one that the other one. Yeah.
Do you drink beer in the shower?
I don't drink beer at all.
You got this for Friday. You can deal with this on Friday, Bink. Fan Club Friday. You got to bring him in.
He took his ring off. It's interesting. Maybe you should tattoo it like Kramer's.
Yeah, that was.
I thought about it. I did not.
We
go
just
that
told
route.
Kramer, do not get somebody's initials tattooed on your finger.
No, because you have to explain that on Hinge in a couple of years.
Oh jeez.
You are rooting against people staying together for a long time.
No, I take bets on it.
No. The same thing came up when Rob got married. The same thing happened.
But I went. And it was a great time. Nice open bar. Perfect situation. But just saying, Drew, nothing's forever, man.
Someone says they will lose their finger before they lose their ring. It never comes off their finger.
Wow.
They will wash their hands with it, shower with it, sleep with it.
Drew's comes right off.
Very easily.
It's probably Velcro.
Up next, we'll talk some Royals baseball. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, will ask him about last night's game and some of the comments from J.J. Piccolo. That's coming up here on Cody and Gold.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley with you here in about a half hour. We are expected to hear from Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, day two of mandatory minicamp. We'll get to the random question of the day here in 15 minutes or so. Just quick update on that whole Tampa Bay Rays stadium thing. We mentioned during What's Trending that there was a report from Sportico that a group of investors led by a prominent Jacksonville area home builder are in advanced talks with the Rays to sell the club. To him, parties have signed a letter of intent priced roughly $1.7 billion. The Rays have since come out with a statement and said the Rays announced that the team has recently commenced exclusive discussions with that group of prominent Tampa Bay investors concerning a possible sale of the team. Neither the Rays nor the group will have further comment during the discussion. So sounds like that thing is going to happen at some point in the near future. Then we'll see where the Rays actually end up. But let's talk about the Kansas City Royals and a win last night to snap that six-game losing streak. We welcome in our Royals insider, Josh Verner. He's got his on-deck show tonight at 6 as the Royals get set to take on the Rangers. Vern, let me just ask you real quick. If the Rays were to be sold, do you think they're for sure out of Tampa?
I would like to think so. It's a good day to be John Sherman. If you're telling me the Rays are worth $1.7 billion, hey, Sherman, how about you go knock on J.J. Piccolo's door and tell him money is no object at the deadline? How about that?
I like that. You heard J.J. Piccolo yesterday talk with us on the show. What did you make of his comments when it comes to how right now they're approaching the deadline? I know you had said earlier in the week with Fesco and Dusty that you think that the green flag, so to speak, should be lowered to start the trade acquisitions, but it sounds like the team doesn't believe there's really trades to be made yet.
Yeah, and I believe what JJ's saying. I mean, you just look around the American League, and how many teams are you convinced are selling? And are we sure that Baltimore is selling their big pieces? I agree with everything that JJ said. Sure, a lot of teams are still in it. Teams are reluctant to part with their pieces. I mean, shoot, all you need to do is look at the Detroit Tigers, right? Everyone wants to point to the Detroit Tigers and what they overcame and made it all the way to the ALDS. Keep in mind, the Tigers still sold a key piece out of their bullpen. They traded away Mark Canna. They traded away Jack Flaherty. So, listen, I understand that the options, the outfield options for this team to improve this lineup might not be aplenty, but you could overpay. You know, everyone has a price. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not even saying that they should overpay. But here's what I will say. The blame for this offense, which still 73 games into the season is the lowest scoring offense in franchise history, some of that blame is starting to leave the players and now making its way to ownership and the front office because, you know, next Thursday is the midway point of the season. I'm fine banking on Salvi and Bobby and Vinny. We knew that this team was going to bank on those guys. But MJ and Renfro and Massey, 73 games into the season, these guys should have about 25 home runs combined. Instead, they have 3. Someone needs to make an adjustment. Sitting around and waiting for Drew Waters and John Rave and even a Jonathan India to start running into more extra base power, I'm kind of done with that. So to me, it's now on ownership in the front office to address these issues with the bats up and down the lineup.
I'm with you. Honestly, we get a text a lot of times about, well, Rafael Devers got traded. That means there's moves to be made. Can you please explain why that's not a normal trade and that there's way more to that whole story than just the Boston Red Sox?
Yeah,
I guess it's not a normal
ownership's
trade.
Behind yeah. Ownership's like, listen, man, I flew out to Kansas City. If you remember when the Red Sox were here, that was right when Devers said, hey, I'm not playing third base. Right. I know Alex Bregman went down, but you told me in spring training I'm a DH and a DH only. The owner, the billionaire owner of the Boston Red Sox, flew to Kauffman Stadium to meet with Devers, asking him, can you do this for us? We're giving you $300 million. We signed you to a 9-10-year deal. Can you try to take some ground balls at third base, at first base? And he said, yeah, we'll see. And then didn't. So ownership says, I want that guy out of here. Alex Cora, the manager, the front office, everyone knew that this is, as strange as it might sound, addition by subtraction for Boston. And San Francisco finally gets their star, right? They tried to get Shohei. They tried to get Aaron Judge. They tried to get Carlos Correa. No one ultimately took their deal. So they need to go out and get that big free agent splash via a trade. And Buster Posey making a very aggressive move. So, yeah, that was quite abnormal. 8 years still remaining on a deal. We've only seen a contract larger moved one time. And that was when the Marlins were selling everything off and traded Giancarlo Stanton to the Yankees. So, no, you're not going to see that very often. That's a once-in-a-decade kind of trade.
Vern, you've seen every pitch of this team this year. How refreshing was it, you know, Bobby Witt doing what he should do. He gets on second base with the double. He scores right away. Royals have a run. That just seemed like just a team possessed a little bit. Leiter's been very good with home runs. They've only given up six all year, and the Royals tagged him for three, which is crazy. But how refreshing was that for the Royals to actually, you know, get out in front of teams?
Yeah, it was very similar to what we grooved to all summer last year, right? That was the 2024 Royals. All-star Seth Lugo and all-star Salvador Perez and all-star Bobby Witt Jr., but with the mix of 2025's Michael Garcia, a guy that if he was around in 2024, I don't think Jonathan India's around in 2025. Yeah, that was a nice game yesterday. And, you know, Seth Lugo answered the bell. And tonight the pressure to me is on, well, maybe not the pressure, but the story tonight is Chris Bubich because of his consistency. I believe I can rely on him. Very nice job last night, Bobby, Salvi, Vinny, Michael. Do it again. If you want your name in the marquee, if you want to be the story going into a Royals game, now the offense is always a story because of the worry, because of the concern, because of how bad they've been all year. But I need to see them perform like this with big knocks, with runners in scoring position like we saw twice from Salvi last night. I need to see that over the course of this road trip. But to me, they're still the same team we've watched now for 73 games. Pitching, a little bit of defense, and then you just cross your fingers offensively. That was a nice start. Let's see if they can keep it up.
Yeah, I did bring up Bubich to JJ yesterday about, you know, biggest surprises, because I think he's certainly the biggest surprise on this team this year. You can make an argument for Noah Cameron. But this pitching staff, you know, they're still fifth in all of baseball. They're still third in the American League in team ERA. And with Cole Reagans being hurt, with Chris Bubich coming on and being as crazy good as he's been this year, do you still view the pitching the same way you did maybe back in April?
No. They, you know, prior to last night, this rotation was 1-6 in June with an ERA north of 5. They've come back down to earth somewhat, and then I think that's to be expected when you have Bubich and Cameron that burst onto the scene here, at least as starting pitchers burst onto the scene the way that they have so far in 2025. Regression was expected, especially when you factor in how good Michael Lorenzen was in April, the fact that Cole Reagans is no longer around. But to your point, the rotation must be great. If this team's going to make it to the postseason, it's 73 games into the season, I have no other thing to hang my hat on other than the rotation. You want to point to the bullpen? A bullpen's only as good as its rotation allows it to be. I hope that we can get to a point where we're relying on the offense, at least 1-6 in the lineup, but I'm not there yet. So what I saw last night from Seth Lugo is worthy of a brief celebration, but that's the expectation. That's how you got to October last year. That's why you lost in October last year, is because the starting pitching wasn't a strength against the Yankees. And starting pitching needs to lead you to October again, up until we get some sort of evidence that this offense isn't powerless and clutchless, which you just can't be both. And right now, for the better part of this season, the offense has been both. Worst in Major League Baseball in home runs, worst in Major League Baseball as far as OPS with runners in scoring position. So until one of those two things change, this rotation must be great. It must get back to where it was in April and May.
We're talking to Josh Vernier, his On Deck show tonight, 6 o'clock, as the Royals get set to take on the Rangers here on 96.5 The Fan. So with what you said about the offense and what has to change with them, do you believe this team gets back to 500?
Do I think they get back to 500?
Anytime this season, yeah.
Oh, boy, they better. Boy, I would sure like to think so. I guess you kind of caught me off guard. Give me a 500 road trip. Then you got Tampa and the Dodgers. Woof, boy. 4 in Seattle. Wow, that's a surprisingly fair question. Man, is this the fan in me? Is this a guy that wants to believe that they get back to 500? I'm going to put my faith in J.J. Piccolo, even more so than this rotation, because as we mentioned, it seems like you guys agree, It's now on him. It's now on ownership to address the issues that this team has up and down the lineup, to be quite honest. So there's nothing I've seen from ownership or this front office that lends me to believe that they're going to sit on their hands, that they're going to let this thing completely get away from them. So even though the green flag has already been dropped on the trade deadline, and I'm not saying they're going to make some sort of a big splash, but there is a way where you're not running John Rave and Drew Waters in the lineup right every single night. It's not, Canna, Lofton, Waters, Rave, they're all fine bench players, but they should be taking up maybe one spot in the lineup, not two every single night. That needs to be addressed, and I believe it will be. So long-winded answer, yes, I think they will get back to 500. How far above 500? That's going to come down to the big bats in the middle. That's Bobby, that's Vinny, that's Salvi. If they can continue what we've seen, and if you look at the numbers that offensively they put up since Jack Caglione made his debut against the St. Louis Cardinals, they have been in above average offense. Not a crazy great offense, but their numbers, whether it's OPS, batting average, they are better than league average. So the offense is improving. But certainly not improving enough in the power department or the clutch department. And again, one of those two things have to happen.
How much pressure do you think exists in the front office, Vern? What do you think about pitching's the hardest thing to get in baseball, to bring it in? And this pitching staff has been so good, you almost don't want to waste it. You kind of, the sports windows, you got to push all in. You got to do what you can because it's hard to say when the Royals pitching staff will be as good as it's been this year. Should there be more pressure there to, you know, kind of cash in something this year when you have this kind of quality pitching?
See, I think there is a lot of pressure. Maybe because they're the Royals, and as you mentioned, we're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce coming up. Maybe because, you know, the Royals are still the little brother in Kansas City. We got Super Bowl aspiration, and that is undeniable. Hey, the Royals are giving us a good time, right? I think that's the thought process of a lot of Kansas City sports fans, and that's fine. But as someone that's in it every single day, there should be a ton of pressure on this Royals team to get to October. And I don't think it really has much to do with the pitching staff. Sure, it has something. To me, the decision to call up Jack Caglione as early as you did and, you know, punting on an additional year of team control for a guy that you believe, you know, has prodigious power, and when you can swing it like that, you're, you know, looking at a nine-figure deal when you ultimately hit free agency. So that, to me, is why they can't retreat, in my opinion. You can't make a move as aggressive as calling up Cags when you did, only to wave the white flag a month and a half later. So there should be a ton of pressure. And I've said this before, Bink, I think there's a ton of pressure on ownership in the front office from now until the end of 2030, until they got that new stadium.
Sure.
When Bobby opts out, and again, the end of 2030, not only can Bobby and Will likely, you know, he'll opt out. Doesn't mean he can't return, but if he's the player we believe he's going to be, he's going to opt out at the end of 2030. And then that's also the penultimate year of Jack Caglione's team control. So from now until then, I don't see how you take your foot off the gas pedal. Now, that doesn't mean you still can't move a guy like Seth Lugo. If you believe in Kyle Wright, if you believe that Rich Hill could actually add something and you can get something for Seth Lugo, I don't think it's necessarily cutting off your nose to spite your face. It could be a nice balance of trying to win now but also investing in the future, because Seth Lugo's gone at the end of this season. I don't see how he returns after you gave Michael Wacha that contract last offseason. So Seth Lugo, 3 months left in a Royals uniform. Do you let him walk for nothing? Do you keep him in this rotation as you make that push? Or can you do both?
Vern, do you find it disrespectful, this picture that they put up of you on the show here on the YouTube, this old picture of you? You're like smiling, you got hair and everything. Yeah. I'm looking at your picture here as I'm doing this interview, and I find this a bit disrespectful. Do you?
No. I don't find it disrespectful.
I don't like
it. You know what I find disrespectful? Can I tell you a quick story? So I'm at my booth doing the pregame show, and one of the terrific people that work at Kauffman Stadium, I'm not going to out her. I don't want to embarrass her, but she comes up to me and she starts going on about how good I look. She's like, I remember you back in the day. You were up on the up on that trailer out there in left field. Uh-huh. Boy, you've lost a lot of weight. You look so good. I'm like, I haven't lost. I was smoking a lot of cigarettes back then, so I've actually. She thinks I'm you from when you did the Royals second half of 2018. She thinks I'm you. I'm bald. I got a beard. I've kind of let myself go a little bit. I'm turning into you, Binkley.
Oh, my. Vern.
So if anybody's watching on YouTube, that picture that you see, that person has turned into the other person you see on your screen.
This is the person I started working with in 2012. This was that guy.
Yeah, and look what you've done to me. You started throwing chewing tobacco and booze at me, and look at what I turned into.
Married.
Last one, thinking of being married, we were giving Drew a hard time because he's not wearing his wedding ring today. Do you wear your wedding ring all the time? Or are you wearing it right now?
I'm not wearing it right now. I go to the any point in which I think girls are going to be like, God bless it, that guy looks like Binkley. He's really good looking. I might make a run at him.
But you're not at work. You're not at work right now, Vern. You're not at work. Drew's at work. Drew's sitting here raising his arms like
sometimes
he's
you forget. I don't know. To me, sometimes you forget. You're in a rush. Or maybe Drew's stepping out. I don't know.
Hey, you never know. I was thinking the same thing.
He delivered a great line to Bink, though, earlier on in the show, though, when he said, Bink, you've lost your ring two times at least.
It was classy.
It was great.
Oh, well done.
It's finger pointing. Well, something I don't take
any
don't
advice
do.
From Binkley.
All right,
look,
Vern.
Look what it did for me.
Appreciate it, man. We'll check in later on. We'll hear you tonight, too.
All right. See sounds Vern. Good. Thank you.
That's Josh Vern. You're our Royals insider. His On Deck show tonight, 6
he
o'clock.
He let himself go.
We were going to do the random question of the day, but the Chiefs are a little ahead of schedule, Bank. Patrick Mahomes is actually speaking right now, so let's head out to minicamp.
To run, I thought he was going to do something. He thought he should do something else, and then we kind of were off page, but that's what this is for. You try to learn those things, and if we get that rep in the game now, we know we're going to be on the same page. We talked it through and had that chance to do it on the practice field.
What are your expectations for Travis this year at 35?
Yeah, I expect Travis to be Travis, man, and obviously the play on the field is going to be high. He's going to go out there with the mentality that we're trying to win the Super Bowl this year because falling short this last year. But then I think more than anything, it's the leadership that he brings to the building every single day and how he leads by example and how he leads vocally. It's a big impact on our football team. And so I expect him to play at a high level and then be an even better leader.
Patrick, it's been a while now, but did you have any serious thoughts that Travis might really say this is it after the season? Or how engaged were you with him in that time when he was?
We never talked about it. You have that in the back of your mind. I mean, for anybody that's played a lot of football seasons, there's always a chance that if they're going to come back and put in the work in the off season. I think everybody wants to play the games, but putting in the work in the off seasons where stuff gets strenuous. And so for him, I think it was just recalibrating, seeing where he's at. And then I mean, from what I've seen, I think y'all can see it, man. He's ready to go. I mean, he's been putting in the work this off season, and he's excited for another chance to make a run at it.
You just figure give him space. I mean, you didn't want to.
No, I don't ever press guys on stuff like that. And I just thought I'd give him space and let him make that decision on his own because you don't want to have regret either way. I mean, if you come back, you don't want to come back and not give everything you have to it. And if you leave, you don't want to leave too soon. So it's a happy medium that you have to find. Hopefully I don't have to fight it for a long time. But that's something that every athlete has to deal with in whatever career they have.
Weapons will be healthy, protection should be better this year. When you hear something like that, what can the offense be if all that is true?
Yeah, I mean, I think all you can do is just be better than you were the day before. I mean, obviously, we have an expectation that we're going to go out there and score every single drive, but that comes with a lot of single reps, a lot of practice reps, a lot of time spent with the guys, and so it takes every single person in the building to go out there and have the top offense in the league, and so we have to just go into every practice, every film study, whatever that is, with that mindset that we're going to get the best out of it.
This is the first time in a while that you've come into this camp with your receivers having been here before a lot of them. Do you notice the difference this time of year with those guys that haven't played in this offense before?
For sure. I mean, I think you saw even at the beginning of last year before Rasheed got hurt. I mean, whenever you have a guy that you've spent that time with and had that connection with, you can hit the ground running because you know those different things. And so seeing that with Xavier this year and Hollywood and Rasheed and Juju and all these guys, man, I mean, they've done a great job of working and continue to work to get even better. And so you can talk about stuff that's happened in prior years, and that's where me and Travis have had so much success is when you get multiple years of reps with guys, you continue to get even better and better on the football field.
But, Patrick, when you follow up on that, It seemed like a lifetime, but 3 years ago, you all were the top offense in the league. Just that was the enemies last year. Last 2 years, even though you won a Super Bowl and went back to the offensive dip, injuries, of course, played a factor in the last season. Would it be a disappointment to you with what you have and what you're seeing in practice right now that you all aren't back where you were 3 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. I mean, you want to be the top offense in the league when you step in the building every single day. But at the end of the day, you want to win the Super Bowl. And so for me, I wasn't as disappointed in not being the top offense as I was at losing the Super Bowl last year the way we lost it. And so our goal is to do whatever we can to win the football game. And hopefully for us, that's being the top offense to go along with the great defense that we have.
The rookies that are on the team now, what have you seen since they've been here and them ascertaining the playbook and getting the reps in with you all? Where would you put them at?
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of cool to see. I don't know if it's like an NIL thing or guys staying in college longer, but it's a very mature group. It's guys that come in and they know how to work, they know how to get after it, but they're learning learning quickly. And so to hear them talk and to hear them do different things, I don't know if they've transferred or whatever it is, they've been in different offenses, but they have a good understanding of football. And so now it's about teaching them how to work to the standard that Coach Reed has. And for any rookie, that's going to be a challenge, but I thought these guys did a great job of picking up on it.
But people are playing with like a Josh Simmons and
yeah, Josh is doing a great job, man, and he's getting healthier and healthier every single day. And he's doing a great job of learning. I mean, he's getting the ultimate test going against Spags and seeing the blitzes that he's going to see. And so he'll continue to get more and more reps, but he's doing a great job with the whole process, and I'm excited for him to get even healthier going into training camp.
We saw the ring boxes out there. Mm-hmm. Are those this year kind of a painful reminder of the way the season ended, or a symbol of what the team accomplished getting to the Super Bowl?
A little bit of both. I mean, I appreciate it because I know at the end of my career I'll look back and remember those times with that team. But obviously the ultimate goal is a Super Bowl ring, and so you have a little bit of the – you appreciate it because you know what you did with that team, but it's a reminder for you to go out there and be even better. I put it this way. I put those, like, in my safe, and I put the other ones on top of my safe. I keep both, but some of them I showcase a little bit more.
Patrick, what does the next month look for you? I know you probably take some personal time, but how do you stay in tune football-wise over the next month or so?
Yeah, it's a lot of working out. This is like when Bobby gets excited because he knows I'm going to be in the gym working out. And so it's a lot of working out, throwing with some of the guys that will be in town, and then spending some time with my family just because knowing that I'll be in football season and miss a lot of that time. So there'll be a lot of parks and water parks and stuff like that to go along with a lot of football workouts.
You always wish it was a little more time because it seems like it's shorting and shorting.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how it works, man. It just seems like the off season gets shorter and shorter every single year. But that's part of the process, man. I think Coach Tree's done a great job of kind of pulling back a little bit and some of these OTA-type days just to kind of keep guys' legs under them. But I think it's like 4 weeks. I'll spend as much time with my family, try to stay in shape as best as possible, and be ready to go whenever we step on that football field in St. Joe.
A couple more.
How many times have you watched the Super Bowl, and I guess what did you learn?
I haven't watched it too many times. I mean, we did some like film study, and you do scheme stuff, but you watch it after the game, and you see it in the scheme and stuff like that. You take away the positives, but obviously you got to learn from the negatives. Obviously, the Philadelphia's defense had stuff on us with Coach Fangio that they did a great job of taking away our best stuff. And so learn from that, have stuff to counteract that, and be ready to go this next season.
Let's go last one, Nick.
Patrick, with whether it's Jalen or Josh, how do you work on building that chemistry with them since you guys haven't been on the field together?
Yeah, it takes reps, man. I mean, I think Coach Hegg does a great job of kind of putting guys in different spots, getting JT back as well. I mean, you got guys bouncing around from right tackle to left tackle to go along with those three to four guys in the middle there. And so it's just going to take more and more reps of learning what they do. They learn me, but that's why we get those long drive drills in training camp. You learn those guys and whenever guys are tired and what they're really going to do and what they're going to go to. And so I thought we did a great job this first little set here in OTAs and in mini camp, but it'll be the ultimate test in training camp of getting on the same page with those guys.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, so that was Patrick Mahomes talking to the media after day two of mandatory minicamp. Talked a little bit about the rookies, calling them a very mature group, maybe compared to some other ones, I guess, that he said maybe because they've been in college a little bit longer with NIL, maybe that's been part of it as well. Also said he expects Travis Kelce, more than anything, to be the leadership aspect, to bring the building every day, big impact to our football team, quote or two from him. Also, the only part I actually thought was interesting, he said he never talked to Travis, he claims, about whether or not he was going to retire or not.
Yeah, also kind of what we talked about earlier, like what's the old goal? Just getting to the Super Bowls, does it still mean somebody had to win it? Hear what he said. Keeps the winning rings in the safe. The other one's on top of it.
Yeah.
They just got their AFC championship rings today. So that was an interesting comment to me.
Up next, we'll talk more about, what does regression look like? We're going to also hear from Travis Kelce, and we're bringing back the snitch line. Start sending those texts in as well. 913-586-7965 right here on Cody and Gold.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.